Am I on? Yeah, I'm on. Got that up there okay. It's been about a year since I tried a science topic. Hopefully people won't be sleeping. Building blocks of the universe. A few weeks ago, a brother from, I think, California, Gary Dillon, presented several messages on intelligent design, basically regarding living things, and there really is much evidence of intelligent design when you're talking about living things. And he did some excellent, presented some excellent material on that. One thing I appreciated was his mention of the irreducibly complex thing. You know, evolution, people believe in that, say there can be change from one generation to another because of mutations, but you're already assuming living things that have cells. But he got into where you got within a cell, and those things have no way of reproducing without the cell itself being there. The cell produces the parts within it, and the parts help the cell. There's some definite things within a cell, part of a cell, that could not be reproduced. So they're so complex, they can't be produced by chance, and the cell had to exist first before the cell could, this motor or whatever object it was, could be produced. So it's called irreducibly complex. There's no explanation for it from creation by chance. But I want to get into some simpler stuff. I like simpler stuff. Life is very complex, living things. I want to get down to some more basic building blocks. And even here, I want to show that there's evidence for intelligent design. Even the building blocks of the universe give evidence of intelligent design. You ever had any Legos? They're nice little building blocks. You can build a lot of things with them. But if they weren't intelligently designed, you really couldn't build much with them. Those little nubbins and little holes have to be lined up exactly. They have to be right diameters. And so for them to stick together and won't fall apart. There's a lot of intelligent design that goes into those little building blocks. And especially for these more complex Lego structures they have now that I never had when I was a little. Lots of different things you can build with them. I remember having Lincoln Logs. They have to be intelligently designed too. I was surprised to find in the store they still have those. Anyway, those things have to be intelligently designed. The notches have to be cut just right. And, well, you can't build anything. You can't build anything that they're supposed to be able to make out of them. Actually, there's some more neat stuff I found there in the store, too. News kits I'd like to look at. Got me interested. There was one kit, a radio kit I had when I was little. I used to like to put things together, and I wanted to build a transistor radio. There was something new. You know, you used to have vacuum tubes and radios, but now they're getting these new things called transistors. So I got myself one of those kits. And the thing, part of the instruction said, you need to put spaghetti on this wire. I couldn't see any spaghetti in there, so I went to the kitchen and got some piece of elbow macaroni, put on this wire, and it didn't take me long to figure it out. That's not going to work. That was not the right part for it. It wouldn't have worked. I found out later. Sort of instantly, maybe, but it's a special type of current. It's a term for a special type of covering, a cylindrical covering, a shield type of thing you put on a wire to insulate it. But it was not what I thought it was at first. So that was the wrong part. It wouldn't have worked. Anyway, building blocks do show evidence of design by intelligent design. So likewise, the creation of life requires intelligently designed building blocks of the universe. scripture is Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy creatures. There's many verses we could use, but I like this one because it mentioned that in wisdom he created them all. Indicating intelligence, super intelligence. God created the world and it took wisdom. In wisdom he has made them all. In wisdom God created life. In wisdom God first created the building blocks of life. Dust of the ground. He created man out of the dust of the ground, but all the material had to be there that would work. And also for all the other animals and living things, he had the materials there already. Ready, ones that would work. So, the next slide. Evidence of design. The building blocks I want to consider are simple molecules, atoms, and fundamental constants. I'll check to see if Gloria is still over. Okay. She has mentioned that sometimes my talks tend to go above her head. These are less complex in life, but they still have intelligent design. I don't think they have as strong as evidence as what Gary Dillon was giving for life and all the complexity there, but they still have undeniable evidence of design. Without the correct initial ingredients, these building blocks, complex living things could never be created. And again, I mentioned that I like studying the simple things. If you can get to more exact answers, maybe you won't solve the ultimate mysteries, but it's more fundamental. Maybe you can get a mathematical equation. Whereas when you study the complexities of life, which actually most of my career is involved in supporting research into living things, social science type things, you got to use statistics because it's too complicated to get to defining all the complexity of life. But you can use statistics over large populations to get an idea of what's going on and probability of what's right and what's wrong, or whether a theory is right or wrong. So statistics are fun, but you're not getting back down to fundamental equations describing things. But simpler things are more fun for me. And though they might not have the impact of the obvious design evidence of more complex living things, still the evidence is still there, and I'm going to go into some of those. And the next slide, first one, molecular, just an example we have of water. And Brandon presented a good talk on this a while back. I just want to briefly go over it. The simple water molecule, H2O water molecule, has evidence of design. Because of the basic fundamental properties of atomic structure, the H2O molecule turns out to have amazing properties, essential for life, both in living things and cells and in the environment. All life needs water. Three properties mentioned here. One's the highest, it has the highest specific heat of any compound molecule. And this is necessary for life because it prevents sudden temperature differences that can be detrimental to life. Seattle in the area here is more moderate because of the high heat capacity of the ocean. It stores a lot of heat. It doesn't, changes in the seasons don't affect us as much because of the high amount of heat that's stored in the water that helps us be warmer in the winter, and it helps us. Actually, it takes up more of the heat from the summer, too, because it's cooler than the air in the summer, so it keeps us a little bit cooler. And it helps preserve life by that means, by that property. But another property is the density decreases, or it's called the specific gravity. When it freezes, there's hardly any elements that do that, or molecules. It's one that does that to make the ice float, which causes warmer water to be underneath so the fish don't die, and also prevents total freeze over the earth to prevent life. Because if it sunk to the bottom like most other liquids when things freeze, it'd freeze from the bottom up. And the heat coming from the sun would warm the top, but wouldn't melt frozen water from underneath. Again, that's important for life. One more important thing is it's the most universal solvent. You can dissolve almost more than things in water than in about anything else. So there are others that can dissolve other things. But that's necessary for life. It's for any bodily function, any and all bodily functions require water to have this capability of dissolving things in them. The blood consumes mostly water, lots of things. Most bodily functions need water to operate. It's necessary for life, it's essential for life. So the amazing behavior of the one liquid that is so plentiful and so essential to life illustrates the planning of an intelligent creator. Life would not be possible without a liquid like this that possesses not just one but all three of these special properties. An atomic example on the next slide is carbon. There's an endless variety of compounds that can form with carbon. When atoms form molecules, they do it by sharing electrons. The carbon atom has four electrons it's willing to share, the most of any atom. So it can form endless variety of molecules, compounds. They can combine in a fantastic variety of ways. There's over 2 million different types of molecules. They're called organic compounds that carbon can form. And that's about 1.5 times as many as all other molecules combined. Those are other ones that are called inorganic compounds. So carbon is really amazing. They can form all these compounds and all compounds necessary for life. Again, a universe capable of producing carbon atoms needed for very complex molecules and living things is evidence of an intelligent creator. Then the next slide, the design of the fundamental constants determines special qualities of atoms and molecules needed for life. The water molecule, the carbon, and many other examples depend on special, finely tuned constants that allow them to exist, to be able to use for life. Why are these constants just set right to allow for life to be possible in the universe? Because nobody knows, it's just the way, it's evidence of design by a creator. And there's about 24 different coincidences that are so unlikely it's evidence of design of a creator. I'm just picking out 5 here. One is the gravitational constant, strong nuclear force constant, electromagnetic constant, universal expansion rate, nuclear energy levels, and 3 examples of atoms. I just want to read a little bit here, have it in good words. This is by a PhD person. Human existence is possible because the constants of physics and the parameters of the universe or planet Earth lie within certain highly restricted ranges. And I'm skipping down. The coincidental values, that was in quotes because somebody was using it who didn't believe in creator. Values of the constants of physics and the parameters of the universe point rather to a designer who transcends the dimensions and limits of the physical universe. Now that the limits and parameters of the universe can be calculated and some even directly measured, astronomers and physicists have begun to recognize a connection between these limits and parameters and the existence of life. It is impossible to imagine a universe containing life in which any one of the fundamental constants of physics or any one of the fundamental parameters of the universe is different, even slightly so in one way or the other. And scientists are recognizing that, and they can't explain why these are set so precisely to allow life. A couple of famous physicists, Dirac and Dix, they're mentioned in this quote, or from this other author. One of the first to recognize that design may also apply to the gross features of the universe was American physicist Robert Dick. In 1961, he noted that life is possible in the universe only because of the special relationships among certain cosmological parameters. Relationships researched by British physicist Paul Dirac 24 years earlier. So I'm read that because it's recognized by scientists that these are coincidences, they call them, that can't be explained by chance. They have trouble with them, they can't explain them. And some are giving credit, coming to a realization that there must have been a designer. First one, I want to look quickly at those five. The gravitation constant determines what type of stars are possible in the universe. If a slightly bigger, stars would be more massive. When you get a star more massive, it burns faster and hotter. Faster means it burns out too soon. It'd probably be gone. The universe would be gone by now. However, if the gravitation constant was slightly less, no heavier atoms would form. Heavier atoms, a lot of them, are needed for life. But in either case, life would not be possible if this wasn't finely tuned to what it is. This was finely tuned. Okay, it has to be finely tuned for a star like our sun to exist and to have atoms needed for life. Why does it have the value it does? Nobody knows. It's evidence of a purposeful design by a creator. And the next one is a strong nuclear force constant. Basically, the nuclear force is what holds atoms together, holds the nucleus together. And there's an opposing force. It's when you got two positive forces together, they repel each other, like two north magnets or two south magnets. They hold them together, they repel. Well, the protons in the nucleus have positive charges, and they repel each other. The nuclear force holds them together in spite of their repelling force. So the strength of the nuclear force determines whether it's going to be successful in holding those protons together. So this is, again, is an example of something that needs to be finely tuned. If it was slightly weaker, there couldn't be more than one proton. They'd repel. The nuclear force would be too weak to hold it together. So the only thing that would be in the universe would be hydrogen atoms, say the ones with one proton in the center. There wouldn't be any multiple proton nucleuses like for all the other nice things we almost have, like oxygen to breathe and water and all that. So again, if the force was slightly weaker, no atoms besides hydrogen could exist. And there'd be no life, of course. If it was slightly stronger, it'd hold too many protons together, and heavier elements, real heavy elements, wouldn't go under fusion, that's splitting, to form other elements that we need for life. So in either case, slightly weaker, slightly stronger, again, scientists realize, life would be impossible. This has to be finely tuned. So the value it is, our life would not be possible. And again, why does it have this finely tuned value to produce atoms needed for life? Nobody knows. Evidence of design by a creator for building blocks that support life is the reason we can count on. Then the next one, the electromagnetic constant. This is what binds electrons to protons in atoms. atom, of course, has the nucleus plus electrons flying around it. And the force that keeps electrons in orbit is the electrical force, electromagnetic constant. If it was a little bit less, the electrons couldn't be held in orbit. There would be no atoms that could exist. Slightly more, the electrons would be held too tight, and molecules couldn't exist. Because if they hold tight onto their electrons, they can't form the molecules. That's what happens with like helium and argon. Argon's in light bulbs. And the reason it's in there is because it doesn't react. It's holding on to its electrons real tight. If oxygen was in a light bulb, it'd burn up the filament immediately because it reacts well. It shares its electron. But the argon atoms don't. That's why they use it in light bulbs, because it holds on to its electrons tightly and it doesn't form compounds. But if this electromagnetic constant was slightly more, all atoms would like act like that, and there could be no compounds, so no life. So either way, slightly less, slightly more, life could not exist. And again, why does the electromagnetic constant have a fine-tuned value that allows atoms to form needed for life? Nobody knows. It's a coincidence. But again, it's evidence of intelligent design with the purpose of creating living things. Next one, universe expansion rate. Some of these might be slightly related to that first one. Gravitation constant, somewhat related. But if it was slightly less, they can measure, of course, the expansion rate now by the redshift. If it was slightly less, the universe would recollapse before suns like ours could form. If it was slightly more, no stars could condense from original hydrogen gas. Of course, the theory is the stars formed from original hydrogen gas. And if the expansion rate was a little bit more, the hydrogen gas would be flying apart fast enough that it would never form stars. So, and this condition has to be, since we can measure its expansion, and though I don't believe in the Big Bang, you know, God spoke and bang, it happened, a better idea, but like, we'll see that one. But it was an expansion. We can tell if the stars were, the universe is expanding, and there was a time when it was closer together. Anyway, this constant expansion rate has to be finely defined, and even more so at the beginning, to allow for how accurate it is now. It had to be even multiplied times, many times more accurate at the beginning if it was going to remain accurate through the expansion. And one scientist has calculated it's one part in 10 to the 55th power possibility that that could have happened by chance. Which, you know, more than the grains of sand in the world, and possibly more than the atoms and the sun, whatever. The largest number you want to come up with is entirely impossible chance-wise. So the critical value here for this expansion rate is evidence of intelligent design. There's a new theory out called inflation theory that attempts to explain this, as you might mention that. Theories can change. Next one is, last one is an example of from about nuclear energy levels, and I probably don't know more much about it than you do, but these nuclear energy levels had to be set exactly right. And I want to just read a little bit about them, because they probably can do a better job than me. But these things had to be exact, again, to allow for life to exist. These are, that's the atomic weights there. Beryllium-8, it's a low weight metal. Of course, carbon, oxygen, you know. These are isotopes, they're unstable, they decay, and obviously they have extra stuff in their nucleus that gets disposed, that'll decay and come out of the alpha particle or something else. It gets rid of it by radiation. But I want to just read why these are so important. The beryllium 8, carbon 12, and oxygen 16 nuclear energy levels affect the manufacture and abundance of elements essential to life. Atomic nuclei exist in various discrete energy levels. The transition from one level to another occurs through the emission or capture of a photon that possesses precisely the energy difference between the two levels. The first coincidence here is that beryllium decays in just 10 to the minus 15 seconds, very short. Because beryllium 8 is so highly unstable, it slows down the fusion process in stars. If it were more stable, fusion of heavier elements would proceed so readily that catastrophic stellar explosions would result. Such explosions would prevent the formation of many heavy elements essential for life. On the other hand, if beryllium 8 were even more unstable, shorter lifespan, elements of the heavier elements would not reproduce. So it's a very finely tuned energy level that if it were different, the formation of other elements would be greatly inhibited. The second one is carbon 12 happens to have the nuclear energy level very slightly above the sum of the energy levels for beryllium 8 and helium 4. Anything other than this precise nuclear energy level for carbon 12 would guarantee insufficient carbon production for life. It's just very necessary to have it precisely there to get enough carbon for life. The third coincidence is that oxygen 16 has exactly the right nuclear energy level either to prevent all carbon from turning into oxygen or to facilitate sufficient production of oxygen 16 for life. And since all that is not too understandable, I'll just quote a scientist everybody knows, or not everybody, but you've probably heard of Fred Hoyle. He's the one who discovered these coincidences in 1953. He's a famous astronomer from England. He concluded that, this is a quote, a super intellect has monkeyed with physics as well as with chemistry and biology. That's his conclusion, even though we don't understand what I said about levels. Quote from a person who doesn't necessarily believe in the creator, had to admit that some super intellect is monkeying with physics to make this possible, have energy levels just exactly right for life. So, nobody knows why. There is no theory that shows why. It's more evidence of a super intellect creator preparing a universe for life. So, building blocks of the universe. They're carefully designed for life, carefully set values for life, and they can't be explained by chance. Just might want to mention, if you bring this up, that a new theory is that, well, these are fundamental values for our universe. There could be a large number of other universes, maybe infinite number of other universes, with slightly different values here. And we, of course, are in the one where these happen to be dry, reduced life, and that's we're living, so that's why we see it that way. We happen to be in the one universe that has these things all right. That's basically guesswork. It's not scientific to say that there's other universes. There's no way to test that. No evidence for it. So basically, you can come up with anything you want. You know, if you can't test it, you can't detect it. So basically, it's unscientific, and there's no evidence for other universes. So anyway, I would just mention that because that's the theory that might scientists might try to say is why these constants are so nicely set for us. Because out of all the infinite number of universes, the one that produced life, because of the life's constant values, is of course the one that created us. Since we're here, we're looking at the one that worked. But there is no evidence for other universes. That's not scientific. Okay, I'm toward a closing here. Me and Carrie can't laugh. This is about the Lion King. Okay. I did get some good out of some movies. And that was a pretty good movie. A lot of work went into it. You could tell when the producer, you know, took a lot of effort in making a quality movie. But I thought at least one thing was pretty stupid. This. Okay. That's the circle of life. The song, the explanation the father gave to his son of the purpose of his life. I thought it was all pretty stupid. And you're probably familiar with what it is. It's basically the food chain thing. And the purpose of he was telling his son for his life is to eventually die so that our bodies can become fertilizer for plants. And plants grow and then more lions and mother whatever can grow. And, in the food chain. So our purpose in our life is so we can become fertilizer. I didn't, you know. But you know, a universe by chance, without a creator, leads to just that. There's nothing more. We're here by chance. We're created by just inanimate things that are there by chance, and there's nothing else. So it leads to the same thing. You're here by chance and you're just going to end up being fertilizer. But if by accepting the obvious intelligent design as requiring a creator and the things he has made, your life can have purpose and meaning because you can look beyond this creation knowing that it came from something greater which you can be a part of. So you can have meaning and purpose in your life beyond this creation by accepting the testimony of the things he has made. Thank you.